This is the official Euro 2024 podcast.
Spain trailed but produced a roaring comeback to beat debutants Georgia.
Nico Williams to send Spain through! An emphatic finish from Nico Williams to surely finish off Georgia.
A thrilling win in Cologne sets up a quarter-final with Germany.
England join La Roja in the last eight, after scoring right at the end of normal time and then right at the start of extra time.
And England get the equaliser! Jude Bellingham's done it! He's pulled it out of the bag!
Headed across,
Kane's there! 2-1 England! Oh, what a turnaround here in Gelsenkirchen!
Slovakian hearts broken after they were seconds away from history.
Yes, we'll look back at Sunday's drama and preview Monday's fixtures, Portugal versus Slovenia and France against Belgium. Hello and welcome to the Euro Show. Chris, we're watching live pictures of Spain celebrating in the rain in Cologne after their 4-1 victory.
We certainly are, and what a match of attacking football. One of the games of Euro 2024 so far. The Georgia players at one end, next to that banner which has been at every game, which simply says believe, are getting a hero's reception as well. My word, they played well on their final tournament debut, of course, and took the lead. But Spain at the other end, taking in all of the adulation. They don't care about this June weather in Cologne. They've done it. And as you can hear in the background, some very happy players and some ecstatic supporters in that stand. We're also joined by the European football expert Alvaro Romeo tonight. Stunning scenes for this Spain side who are really thrilling us.
Yes, they are. They have had a very convincing win against Georgia. Georgia scored first, and the most impressive thing about Spain is that they never lost the plot. They kept their style, they made sure they scored before the halftime, and then all the goals from the game, the four of them have been golazos, as we say in Spanish, really beautiful goals to, you know, send Spain to the quarterfinals of the tournament. And based on the performances of Spain, we can say that probably they have been the most entertaining team to watch.
Well, Nico Williams, who we're going to speak about a lot over the next hour or so, has just taken off his shirt, given it to one lucky Spain fan. And at the other end, we're seeing the Georgian clap in unison with their supporters. Their Euro has ended tonight, Rob, but they have definitely made their impact. And I would suggest anyone who has watched them play has come away with that warm feeling and a smile on their face.
There is little sadness down that end, yep. Actually, as Willy Sanyol in his jacket in the rain looks up to those supporters in white and red who have enjoyed this thrilling team go on quite the ride. A reminder to get in touch with the day's action via X, message us using @Euro2024, and a reminder we're live every match night to the competition, or you can listen to the show as the official Euro 2024 podcast. Okay, we'll get to England 2, Slovakia 1 shortly, not short of drama either, but let's stay and start in Cologne. Spain met Georgia for the right to face Germany in the quarterfinals.
Now the Georgian supporters can roar as Kakabadze gets forwards. Kakabadze's ball in! It's an own goal! Georgia in front! Incredible! Rodri, Williams, and Rodri! There it is! Spain's patience is rewarded! And it's Rodri who has done the business! Yamal again. Inviting ball, must be! Spain have turned it around! Fabian Ruiz with the header! They've kept their cool! And from one down, Spain are on course for the quarterfinals! Now Nico Williams is onto this, and Georgia could be in trouble. Nico Williams to send Spain through! An emphatic finish from Nico Williams to surely finish off Georgia. Dani Olmo puts the seal on it for Spain. A fine performance from the much fancied La Roja. There will be no fairy tale for Georgia tonight.
A brilliant game as well. It's worth mentioning that Spain's 4-1 win over Georgia. Alvaro, revert back to a familiar Spain 11, the 11 that has played the key game so far in this competition. And they did start well, but it wasn't necessarily going well, in fact, in those opening minutes.
Well, I think that from the very beginning of the game, it was very clear that the most important thing to tackle Georgia's danger was to avoid the counterattacks. And Spain tried, and they did well. And Georgia barely counterattacked during the game. Every time they could, they showed that they were very dangerous at that art. But the first goal of the game came thanks to a counterattack of Georgia. It was a very fast action as well, with the ball sent to the box, and Lenormand just slotted it into his own net. It was unfortunate for Spain. And after that, Spain showed a reaction. They didn't panic. They played with the composure that you will associate to the competitive sides. And they ended up winning the game. But, you know, I think that the game was never going to be easy. And finally, in the second half, Spain could breathe a little bit when it was a 3-1 in the scoreline. And then they played with a little bit more ease, with less precautions. And I have to say that the victory has been convincing, but I don't want to take anything away from the Georgians.
Brilliant equaliser from Rodri. Left-footed finish from the edge of the box. Quite a typical Rodri goal, actually. When he gets them, they tend to be very good. But on Georgia, you mentioned there their counter-attacking, which has been almost one of the enduring memories of this tournament so far. They're so kind of fearless when they go forward. And there was a moment at 1-1 when Kvitsa Kvaratskhelia almost scored from his own half, which would have put them 2-1 up.
It was wild, wasn't it?
It was wild. And I think that the most remarkable thing about their counterattacks, and I think that I have expressed this in different ways in the previous shows, is the fact that they manage to get to your box and to dangerous positions, maybe with one or two players, which is very remarkable. I mean, one or two players alone against the four main defenders, they can get there and they can put anybody in trouble, and they can, no matter how good the opponent's defenders are, Kvaratskhelia and Mikautadze together, they have been so good and so deadly. And if that goal from Kvaratskhelia had gone in, we would be talking about the goal of the tournament, because it was incredible, really. But probably the goal of the tournament is another one now, because today Jude Bellingham scored a bicycle kick, which is a rare thing in the European Championship, as we will analyse later.
We'll reflect as well on Georgia's overall run to this point, Chris, but there's no doubt it's Nico Williams, right, isn't it?
It is, and which is perfect that we have someone from Bilbao next to us who knows his backstory, Alvaro. Talk to us about not just his performances, I guess, but his journey to this Spain national team in the first place.
Well, he's the brother of Iñaki Williams, a legend of Athletic Club Bilbao. We all know that. Athletic Club Bilbao historically doesn't produce many players who dribble past like these wingers. Normally we produce different type of players. But Nico is special. He's a gem. He's been 3 seasons in the top flight only. And I think that when he played for Spain in World Cup 2022, it was still a little bit too early for him, as we could see. But in this Euro, and this season in general, Nico has stepped up. I remember in the Cup final on the 6th of April, he was the one who took the reins of the game when Athletic Club Bilbao was behind in the scoreline. He gave the assist to Ollán Sanzet to score the level. And against Atlético de Madrid this season as well, he had a terrific performance too. And I think that he's got the right maturity right now. And I can expect only better things from him, because he's still a 6 or 7 goals a season footballer, but he's got the potential to be a 15 or 16 goals a season footballer. That's coming up. That's coming up for sure very soon. And in this Euro, he's showing his tenacity, his speed, his dribbling ability, and also his hunger to score goals, because Nico Williams, as I said before, doesn't score many normally. But today, he has scored the beautiful goal, and he wanted more. He created chances for himself, because he saw the opportunity to score a brace tonight.
Just one on the other winger, Lamine Yamal. I know we speak
about
him.
You have to ask, you have to talk about
him. We have to speak about him. I mean, still at this tender age of 16. And the key moment in the game, we talked about how Georgia almost scored that outrageous goal to go 2-1 up, was Fabian Ruiz's header on 51 minutes. And it was the most perfectly weighted cross from Lamine Yamal that set up perhaps that ultimately decisive moment of the night.
Definitely. And 3 weeks ago, he did exactly the same thing. I mean, the protagonists of the actions were the same players. Lamine Yamal crossing the ball for Fabian Ruiz in a friendly against Northern Ireland ahead of Euro 2024. Lamine Yamal is so good that at the age of 16, even his teammates understand that when the situation gets rough, you have to give him the ball. because he will create something. He's so safe on the ball. He dribbles very well, and on top of that, his crossing is phenomenal. We have seen today that he sends like a floating ball to the second post, always the same one. Lewandowski this season has been the beneficiary of that, and Lamine, Fabian Ruiz tonight has been another beneficiary of Lamine Yamal's crossing. It's incredible. 16 years old, he's been looking for his goal with eagerness. It's not happening yet. But on the other hand, it's very difficult to score a goal against Mardasvili. I know that Spain has scored four, but you have to really nail your shoots. Otherwise, you're not going to score a goal against Mardasvili.
This Spain team, Alvaro, how exciting is it to see this group playing like this?
Honestly, I don't want to get super carried away, but we can say that the results have been so good that it's impossible not to think that Spain is among the favorites, if not the favorite right now. Of course, they will have to endure difficult nights, but for example, today, for the first time in the tournament, they were behind in the scoreline and they played with maturity. They always knew what to do. They were very sure on the ball. Luis de la Fuente, as the tournament goes by, has been adding players to the mix, the likes of Alex Grimaldo, the likes of Mikel Merino. Even Dani Olmo today was phenomenal, scored the goal. He proved that he can be the second number 10 for Spain, apart from Pedri. And the future looks very bright, looks very bright.
And of course, it seems amazing, but Spain's last major tournament victory was in 2012.
In knockout football.
The end of that, you know. Frankly, absurd run of three major tournament wins in a row, and they're in the quarterfinals. And we will get on to that last eight tie against Germany before the night is out.
Okay, let's go to Cologne and speak to the man who was on commentary duty around the world for this one, Mark Scott. Mark, thanks for coming on.
Yes, quite the game here. I think that everyone's still sort of coming to terms with what they've seen as I try to make my way out amongst the Georgia supporters who are still so full of pride and joy at what they've seen from their nation here at this UEFA Euro. Of course, they came into it as the lowest ranked side, their first ever major tournament. They've made their presence felt, and they had that wonderful moment when Lenormand gave them the lead via that own goal. Spain just too strong in the end, but it's been an exhilarating run for them, but also a real message sent out by Spain here this evening to the rest of the teams at this UEFA Euro.
Mark, was that game as fun to commentate on as it was to watch? It was a brilliant encounter.
It was. It was exactly sort of what we thought it might be, with Georgia under Willy Sanyol just sitting in, but hitting at such pace and with such ferocity on the counter-attack, with Kvaratskhelia just causing nightmares. And they had pace left, right, through the middle. They didn't have much of the ball, but it was an intriguing watch. However, you just got the feeling that Spain, as the game went on, would be patient. They'd find the gaps, and eventually their class told. And I think what's really interesting is I've read a lot about the change in direction of this Spain side under Luis de la Fuente. Less tiki-taka, more to the point is the way that they're playing. And the wingers that they have can get the ball so quickly into the forwards. It's a different type of Spain, but it's scary for all the other teams that are playing at this Euro, because I think, make no doubt about it, they are the team to beat.
Mark, I love the enthusiasm in your voice. You can tell that you have just witnessed an absolute cracker of a Euro match. What was it like live, seeing all of these kind of quick, skillful players carrying the ball 30, 40, 50 metres up the pitch on both sides for Georgia and for Spain this evening? That must have been a real thrill.
Yeah, electric. You know, Nico Williams probably just about stands out as the best of the four pace merchants, if you will, that were on show here this evening. Lamine Yamal again was, I mean, I cannot believe he's 16. It's just a joke that his 17th birthday isn't until the day before the Euro final. I was flabbergasted by how quick they are and how much control they have of the ball as well. But there was heroes all over the pitch. As I say, Nico Williams and Lamine Yamal will take the headlines for Spain. Fabian Ruiz, though, is just a sensational footballer, not just because he scored that goal when he ghosted in with the header to put Spain in front, but just the way he was always in the right place, played the right pass. I think he's probably been a bit of an unsung hero. But yes, of course, the speed of the players that you mentioned was thrilling to watch. It was absolutely exhilarating.
two goals, two assists at this Euro for Fabian Ruiz as well. Mark, are you in the rain right now? Are you dry? I mean, look, it was pelting you down.
I'm trying to sort of combine getting somewhere that's quiet enough that you can hear me in amongst the hullabaloo of the fans, and also preserving my dignity so I don't get absolutely drenched in the Cologne rain here. So it's a delicate balancing act, I'll just put it that way.
You've done it perfectly. Mark, thanks for coming on.
No worries at all. Cheers, guys.
Mark Scott there deserves a little Kölsch, I think, the Cologne beer. Yes. After that brilliant game. And now it sets up a quarterfinal for Spain with Germany in Stuttgart. We're going to get onto this one. It will be the first quarterfinal of the tournament, Friday, the 5th of July. Final thoughts, Alvaro, on Georgia and what they've done?
Well, I think that their tournament is memorable. Every Georgian will remember what happened, the way it happened, the game against Turkey, despite that being a defeat, the win against Portugal. These 10-15 minutes ahead in the scoreline they had against Spain, that goes to Georgian football history straight away. And this generation is not that old yet, not at all. I think that there is still a tournament or two in this generation, and I am sure that we will see them in Euro 2028.
Still to come, reflection on Sunday's other round of 16 match as England face Slovakia in Gelsenkirchen.
A cardiac arrest can happen to anyone, on a football pitch, at work, but most often at home.
CPR can save lives.
Get trained now.
Learn the skills to save lives. Visit get-train.com.
You're listening to the Euro Show. A reminder that the official Euro 2024 app is the best place to check and change your fantasy team. There you can also do daily quizzes. You can follow every game through our dedicated match centre. It has everything you need. Well, the first match of Sunday saw England face Slovakia in Gelsenkirchen, the home of Schalke. It served up plenty of drama.
David Strelec here. He's got support if required. Strelec sends it in. Slovakia have the lead. Ivan Schrantz again. It's his third goal of the Euro. The upset is on. It's getting pretty desperate for England now. Slovakia so close to a famous win. And Jude Bellingham's done it. He's pulled it out of the bag right at the end of the game. Now Cole Palmer to take this one. Met by Dubravka, sent goalwards again, headed across. Kane's there, 2-1 England. Oh, what a turnaround here in Gelsenkirchen.
And these were the full-time scenes, Chris.
Sweet Caroline getting another airing in Germany. I think a mixture of delight, but also probably relief as well from the England supporters. It was we've had two incredible games today.
Yeah, brilliant,
actually,
brilliant. Well, let's go to Gelsenkirchen then. Our England reporter, Joe Terry, was at the game. Joe, good evening.
Good evening.
Did you sense the relief amongst the England camp after that dramatic victory?
Massive relief, and not only that, but a sense of kind of bafflement that even they managed to pull that off.
Talk to us about the celebrations when first Jude Bellingham scored that outrageous goal and then Harry Kane headed home what was ultimately the winner.
Well, they came so close to each other back to back. So on the first one, everybody around me had kind of made their peace with the fact that England had lost this game. So once we managed to kind of get our heads around the fact that, no, we're in extra time now, and there are 30 minutes to play, almost immediately Harry Kane scored. So it really was a roller coaster of emotion.
How did England turn it around, Joe?
To be honest, I think it defies tactical analysis. It comes down to the will to win of one person, Jude Bellingham, who simply refused to allow England to lose that game. And in those moments, he came up clutch and delivered exactly what England needed.
Gareth Southgate, in the end, made a number of changes during the game and kind of a formation switch as well. Looking ahead now to the quarterfinal, do you think anybody that came on may well have played their way into Gareth Southgate's plans for the starting 11 for the next game?
Well, I mean, I would say Cole Palmer was excellent in his cameo, showed all of the class and audacity that he showed for Chelsea this season. But also Eberechi Eze was excellent at carrying England high up the pitch, winning fouls, winning territory. And I'd say the same for Ivan Toney as well.
Yeah, you spoke to Ivan Toney, who made the winning goal. What did he have to say?
Well, I asked him what was going through his mind when he came on, and then he said, well, I just put myself about. And then his mentality had to switch for extra time as well. And he said to Harry, look, I will find you with a knock-on, which is exactly what he ended up doing.
Joe, great insight. Thank you very much for coming on the show and enjoy your evening.
Thank you very much.
Our England reporter, Joe Terry, speaking there. Let's get more reaction from Gelsenkirchen, the player of the match, Jude Bellingham. Here he is reflecting on England's comeback moments after the game.
I think the performance was real good until their goal. And even after their goal, to be honest, we had massive control of the game. We were always threatening in the final third. Maybe still just lacking that little touch to create the big chances. But even then, we had a few that were kind of halfers and that we showed really great quality to maximise. But, yeah, we've won this game together. And, not me, not Harry, not the individual moments where, you know, you look back on it in maybe a few years' time and talk about the game. It's the likes of Ivan Toney, Eze, Cole Palmer, and I could name all the rest coming on. Bakayo going to left back. You know, there's a sacrifice that you make for a team. And that's the energy we need to keep within the team, regardless of what goes on outside.
Jude Bellingham speaking there. The first game to go to extra time at Euro. Bellingham largely positive on the performance. Talked about how England did have a lot of the ball. But there were problems caused by Slovakia in that first half, Alvaro, against an England side that brought Kobbie Mainoo into midfield to try and address some of the issues they've been having there.
Yeah, in fact, Slovakia played better in the first half. Harasin had a chance when the scoreline was still 0-0. Then Schranz, a footballer who scored 3 goals in the tournament, by the way, opened the scoreline for Slovakia. And I think that as the game went by, Slovakia got tired, they ran out of ideas in attack, and England started dominating. The result can be a turning point. One never knows when a new dynamic will be born, and I think that this could be the afternoon. England won 2-1. I think that the set pieces costed Slovakia. England is very strong, and maybe today Southgate got a hint of what England can do with Ivan Toney and Harry Kane playing together, because Toney set up the goal for Harry Kane and he showed his aerial strength. But generally speaking, England needed the win. They got it, but Slovakia had a very good first half, and players like Lobotka or Dubravka, for example, show a very good level again.
And after that goal from Ivan Schranz in the 25th minute, although England then had most of the ball, we talked about Georgia almost scoring from the halfway line. Well, Slovakia did the same when England gave the ball away from a short free kick, and David Strelec was millimetres away. I think Jordan Pickford was not going to get there. That would have been another extraordinary moment. That would have put them 2-0 up. But then from an English perspective, absolute delight when Jude Bellingham scores that goal in the 95th minute. And conversely, because we went to extra time, we had one goal in the 95th minute and then a goal in the 91st minute. Because,
yeah.
You know, in terms of the match itself, probably only 120 seconds between those two strikes. You have to feel for Slovakia. But England, Alvaro, came up with, you know, a beautiful moment from a long throw, actually, from Jude Bellingham.
Yes, of course. Well, the goal of Bellingham is sensational. And the story of Jude Bellingham this season is the story of a superhero, really. I mean, he turned 21 years old on Saturday. He scored the first bicycle kick goal in the European Championship since Shaqiri's in 2016.
Wow.
I remember that one from Antonio Conte against Turkey in 2000 as well. Bellingham has scored this season between club and country 27 goals. He has scored goals in both clásicos. He has scored many goals in the Champions League, also in the aggregate time on the second half. And today he did the same. He has been one of the heroes of the tournament because he also scored the winning goal for England against Serbia. And I think that we're talking about English players, but not about England as a team, because England hasn't played too well. But it's great when you can resort to this kind of players, Bellingham, Harry Kane, even Ivan Toney, Cole Palmer, who did fantastically in the second half, coming only for 30 minutes. When you can resort to players of this quality, you know that you will score a goal here and there. And that is a massive plus that England has.
Gareth Southgate has reached the quarterfinals or further in four straight tournaments with England. But there's lots of questions about the team selection, as we were talking about with Joe, going into the their last eight tie with Switzerland.
Yeah, and I think you look at the depth of the squad that you know if you bring on a Cole Palmer, who has just had an extraordinary season in the English Premier League with Chelsea, that he is almost likely to do something very good. I think the fact that they were able to find that moment when, you know, Slovakia must have thought this was it.
History. And it was heartbreaking, wasn't it, Chris,
for
Slovakia?
And they fully deserved to be 1-0 up going into the 95th minute. England had hit the post through Declan Rice, but I don't think they had had officially a shot on target until Jude Bellingham came up with that.
The two goals were the only two shots on target on the day.
You know, this, remember, for a nation who supplied the majority of the starting 11 Euro 1976 when they won it as Czechoslovakia. But as an independent nation, this would have been their greatest footballing moment. And you could see the dejection on their faces at the end. Milan Skriniar, the captain, who had a brilliant game, was almost in tears on the pitch because they had put everything into this, Alvaro, and must have thought that it was their time.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that you are absolutely spot on with the analysis. Number one, Slovakia cannot leave this game feeling ashamed about anything. I mean, they have been very good in the tournament. They have created a granitic unit that it was very difficult to go through. I believe that a few players may have played their last ever Euros. I'm talking about Dubravka, maybe Lobotka, maybe Skriniar. I'm talking about age, obviously. But, you know, you have to toast for these generations because they have been very good. In the group stage, they were always competitive. Their 4-4-2 with the high line is one of the trademark, tactical setups of the tournament. And the funny thing about this high line of Slovakia is that despite playing like that, I cannot remember many sides who were able to profit the high line of Slovakia. They knew how to use the offside rule very well. They were fast tracking back players. And, you know, they've been really competitive. It's a real shame for them that they are out. They were only 30 seconds away from being in the quarterfinals. So a terrific achievement for them.
England will play Switzerland then in the last eight on Saturday, the 6th of July. And a reminder, Mark Gay, who's been a starting centre-back for England, is suspended. So another decision to make for Gareth Southgate. Look, it's hard to believe, but we're halfway through the round of 16 already. Here's what else happened on Sunday. Gernot Trauner will miss Austria's game with Turkey on Tuesday. The key central defender hasn't played since a muscle injury that he picked up against Poland in the second group game.
Meanwhile, Zeki Celik has played down talk of revenge ahead of their last 16 showdown in Leipzig. The two nations meet just a few months on from a friendly match, which Austria won 6-1. Celik insists that result will have no bearing on this game, but admits that Turkey must deal with Austria's press better than they did back in March.
İlkay Gündoğan's praised his country's supporters after Germany booked their quarterfinal spot on Saturday. The hosts beat Denmark in Dortmund, and their captain is already excited for the atmosphere when Germany step out for their last eight tie.
You can already feel it, you know, when the national anthem is playing and everyone is singing and the stadium is loud. You could already feel that the people are ready, you know, that the people are ready to support us. I haven't expected anything less from Dortmund, to be honest. It's always great to come back here, you know, and play football here. And now we are looking forward to Stuttgart again.
And there was a treat for Switzerland after their victory over Italy. We told you how Germany swapped pasta and vegetables for a doner kebab earlier on in the tournament. Well, it was the same for the Swiss. The meal was laid on in the Olympiastadion after their 2-0 win in Berlin.
You have to have a doner kebab in Germany, don't you, Chris?
Yeah. I mean, it's in other parts of Europe, it is maybe something that you might have late at night, one night. But in Germany, actually, it is tradition.
Breakfast.
It's exceptional. Breakfast.
Breakfast to champions.
Lunch, tea, whatever.
Well, Mark Scott is in Cologne, and Lukas Podolski has his kebab shop in Cologne. Yep. I wonder if he's actually was running to the kebab shop, actually, after the game. Thoroughly deserved as well, Mark, if you're listening. OK, let's turn our attention to Monday's ties and start previewing those. We'll go to the meeting in Dusseldorf. And what a game. It's France against Belgium.
man in the mask for France, 1-0. Kylian Mbappe scores at the European Championship for the first time in his career.
Doku, Lukaku, laid off for Tielemans. It's in! What a start for Belgium! That's come through here for De Bruyne. He's wrapped up the win for Belgium. The captain makes the point safe. And Belgium have their first win.
They are two of the favourites for the title, but I think you can argue that neither nation has yet to hit peak form in Germany. But Alvaro, is France-Belgium the tie of the round?
Yeah, it's one of the best games you can expect at this stage of the tournament. I think that I am expecting France to have a good performance, because probably they need a good performance as well to beat Belgium. Of course, with Kylian Mbappé in a good form, and he showed the other day against Poland that just in a couple of accelerations, how sharp he is already. With Kylian Mbappé, you have to consider yourself very lucky and probably the favourite for this game. And I want to see how N'Golo Kanté does, because for me, he's been one of the surprises of the tournament. I must admit that I haven't watched a lot from N'Golo Kanté, apart from the Club World Cup, which happened back in December 2023. And Kanté has been one of the refreshing surprises of the tournament. Antoine Griezmann is going to start. He's the creative force of France. And I expect the best. One thing about Belgium that maybe I didn't like too much against Ukraine is the fact that Zaparenko and Sudakov, with their passing, they were finding the strikers very quickly. It's like it was very easy to break the midfield of Belgium. Maybe the manager Tedesco will use a third midfielder against France, because otherwise I think that the Belgian midfield, can come a little bit light against a team like France with N'Golo Kanté, Rabiot and Antoine Griezmann.
Okay, we'll get to Belgium shortly. Let's go to our France correspondent Alex Clemenson, who's with the team in Dusseldorf. Alex, thanks for coming on the show.
No, thank you very much for having me.
I know you've been around the team camp and speaking to the key personnel in the French team as well. But first of all, team news, will there be much change from the Poland game? We know that Antoine Griezmann was moved to the bench for that one.
Yeah, I think in all likelihood, I think he'll be back tomorrow. I think there's talk of a rejigged 4-4-2 diamond formation in midfield with Griezmann sitting behind Thuram and Mbappe. So something similar to what we saw against the Netherlands, but I think that should inject a bit more creativity and a bit more spark going forward for France.
Alex, you had the honour of speaking to Kylian Mbappe today, and let's play some of that interview now.
I'm really happy to be here to play an amazing game tomorrow. It's a new competition now, something new, different, but we are ready to compete and we hope that we're going to win tomorrow.
Given the pressures involved in knockout football, have you noticed a change in mindset within the team this week?
I think it's always the same spirit. It's a different situation for sure, but it's the same spirit. We always want to win. We came here to win, and now we have to prove that on the pitch tomorrow against a tough team, but we are ready for that.
How has he looked, Alex? Because so much of the group stage was dominated by that injury that he picked up and the mask that he's had to wear. But what sort of Kylian Mbappe do you think we're going to see tomorrow?
I think a fully motivated one. I think this has been like a theme that we've sort of heard a lot from during press conferences and his interviews in particular, that he certainly feels that France perhaps need the pressures of knockout football in order to bring the best out of them. We heard from Didier Deschamps straight after the Poland game, who was saying that a new competition starts with the knockouts. And I genuinely think France are buying into that. I think they need this pressure. I think they thrive off it. And I think we'll see a reinvigorated, a re-energised France side tomorrow.
What has been the reflection of how the group stage campaign went?
I think there has been sort of an admittance of sorts that perhaps after you've won your first game, sort of the notion of you having already qualified is sort of embedded within the side. I think certainly in that Poland game, we spoke to Ibrahima Konate earlier this week, and he said that there was that element that perhaps they took it slightly more relaxed, considering that they already were qualified. They qualified the night before. So I genuinely think that was a theme during the Poland game. But I think now, with the stakes at hand, the pressures that are involved in knockout football, I think we'll see a different beast. And I think everyone's just waiting for this front side to click, for them to go into the next gear. And I think once they do, I think they'll lay a marker down in this tournament, and they really could grab it by the scruff of the neck and take it all the way to the final.
I was reading some interesting quotes from Konate, who you mentioned there, who I guess in this tournament has almost lost his place as the first choice centre-back, but kind of talking about how it's not his job to be frustrated, it's his job to, you know, be a supportive guy from the bench, which to me anyway, it said a lot about the spirit and the unity of this French squad. Would that be right?
Absolutely. I think this was one of the first sort of topics of conversation we addressed with the squad at the very start of the competition. There seems to be an incredible unity, an incredible sort of cohesiveness within the squad there. A lot of players similar ages, a lot have played in the youth teams together, a lot come from the Paris region. So they've played together, played against each other when they were younger. I think this is a team that really has an incredible sense of confidence in themselves, but also a confidence in each other and a cohesiveness that they buy into the group rather than playing as individuals. And I think it's one of the strengths of that side. They've cited that themselves on multiple occasions, whoever it is that you speak to. The cohesiveness and the togetherness of this side is very much the strength of the French national team at the moment.
Alex, enjoy the game. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much. You guys too. Thank you.
Alex Clemenson, our France correspondent in Düsseldorf.
Yeah, and they know this is a really difficult first test in the knockout stage. A Belgium team packed full of quality. Romelu Lukaku, how unlucky has he been to not yet officially score, even though he has looked pretty deadly in front of goal?
Definitely. And a couple of disallowed goals were a matter of inches. So, you know, he has proven, if anything, that he is there, that he can find the net. And normally when a player gets many goals disallowed, instead of losing his morale, normally that's a morale booster because they know that they are there. They know that they are scoring. He's not misfiring or anything like that. His connection with Kevin De Bruyne has been excellent. I mean, they understand each other as if they have a telepathic synchrony in there. And I do believe that Romelu Lukaku is going to be one of the most dangerous players of Belgium. And the most interesting thing about Lukaku and Belgium is that if you look at the UEFA stats for crosses completed or crosses taken in a game, Belgium comes the 22nd. For a team that plays with wingers, with Doku, with Luke Bakio, with Trossard, that's very little. They try to play everything from the central channel and find Romelu Lukaku that way. In my opinion, it's been working. It's been working. Romelu Lukaku has been like centimeters away from being one of the joint top scorers of the tournament.
And I think of that layoff he did for that Yuri Tielemans goal as well, when he had his back to goal. Lukaku was part of the Belgium side that played France in the semi-finals of the World Cup in 2018. He, Axel Witsel, Jan Vertonghen, Carrasco came on, and Kevin De Bruyne started as well. And Alvaro, I know you've been impressed with what he's been doing in this midfield role for Belgium.
Playing as a number 10. It's a position that maybe we don't see a lot in club football, but we have seen it in country football, nations football, sorry. For example, Spain plays with a number 10, Germany as well, and Belgium as well. And Kevin De Bruyne knows that in his new position, maybe he doesn't have to run so much, even though he does, because if you check the stats of kilometers covered per game, normally Kevin De Bruyne is among the top three still, but he doesn't have to run so much. He's closer to the opponent's goal, and as I said before, every time he gets the ball, and if especially Belgium has the opportunity to trigger a counter-attack or to create a goal chance, he sends the ball straight to Romelu Lukaku. That is one of the combinations of the tournament for me.
Alvaro, you mentioned they might add another midfielder. So how does that work?
Let's see, because I think that Yuri Tielemans is going to stay, for sure, because he didn't start in his first game, but then he's been starting and he has been gaining importance as the tournament went by, and then he's going to play with two more. I don't know who are going to be. One of them is going to be...
Could he play Onana, Mangala and De Bruyne, like in a more advanced
role? I think, that the most logical thing to do. Onana, Mangala, Tielemans. We're thinking about Yannick Carrasco, putting him in the middle as well, or deploying a little bit Kevin De Bruyne. But I think that probably an Onana, Mangala, Yuri Tielemans, if not from the start of the game, but if Belgium is winning the game, I think that it's very likely that Tedesco will go for that.
You mentioned him. He is the man who will decide, the Belgium head coach Domenico Tedesco. And he's been speaking to our reporter David Daunt about the prospect of facing France.
This Euro showed that there is no game that is really easy. Switzerland yesterday won against Italy, so Italy is out. And Switzerland was second in a qualification or in a qualifying behind our first or second opponent, Romania. So this tells a long story.
How can you see during the training on which details that the players are ready for tomorrow?
Yeah, we are always ready. I think that telling you that now something was special would automatically mean that during the last games or during the last match days minus one training sessions, we were not focused or no, it was not the case. We have the same atmosphere, the same special feeling like from the very beginning of this tournament.
And a question about France. What can you tell us about their strengths?
Yeah, many strengths, of course, many top players that are playing in the best teams worldwide. So I think that there is not that need, there is no need to go in detail because every player is a top player.
Domenico Tedesco there, his biggest game as Belgian boss, his 18th match in charge, and it's remarkable really. He's still only 38.
Yeah, I think it's his fourth job, I think, isn't it, as a head coach. He'll be without Thomas Meunier, we know that. He's stayed at the training camp because of injury. Dodi Lukebakio's back available after suspension. Axel Witsel's been out as well. And Oral Mangala revealing they haven't practiced penalties. France have, Didier Deschamps confirmed today. So we'll see if it comes to that. Still to come, a look ahead to Monday's other round of 16 tie.
Few major competitions do more than the Euros to ensure their benefits last far beyond the final tournament. Since 2004, our hat-trick programme has been distributing two-thirds of every Euro's net revenue across Europe's 55 football associations to fund development projects. These benefits touch every level of the football pyramid. In communities, it pays for mini pitches, grassroots club development, football in schools and disability football projects. At the top, Hattrick has helped associations build more than 60 stadiums and training centres. Euro 2024 will build on more than 800 projects already delivered over 20 years of Hattrick. Over the next 4 years, 935 million euros of the tournament's revenue will help leave a lasting legacy across the continent.
You're listening to the Euro Show with Chris Parrott, Alvaro Romeo and me, Rob Daly. The later kickoff on Monday comes in Frankfurt as 2016 winners Portugal face Slovenia.
It's a great chance for 3-0, and it's walked up by Bruno Fernandes. Turkish defence undone, and surely now this match out of reach for Turkey.
Momentum perhaps growing and building. Here is Janjer, and it's a flex and it's in! Slovenia have back on level terms, and Erik Janjer.
Serbia trying to get bodies back.
Elsnik, can it snick? Janjer! Snick started that move on the edge of his own penalty area, and having run the length of the field, he gives Slovenia the lead.
Yeah, brilliant run to the round of 16 for Slovenia. They finished third in their group and deservedly to go through, along with England and Denmark.
Yeah, we'll speak about them shortly. But first to Portugal, group winners ahead of Czechia, Turkey and Georgia. It's a difficult group given how we've seen those teams play. Alvaro, I mean, Roberto Martinez has this hugely talented squad to choose from. And good news, according to him, all 26 players have trained and are fit. So he's got some selection issues, nice issues to think about.
Very nice issues to think about. I'm sure that many managers would like to have that problem. The truth is that Portugal looked very well in the first two games of the tournament, and then when they were already top in the group, qualified, they maybe didn't play their 100% against Georgia. I don't want to take anything away from the Georgian side, but Portugal did many rotations, and that inevitably affected the team. But the truth is that Portugal played very well in the first game against the Czech Republic, despite not winning until the last minute with that goal from Conceição. They were phenomenal against Turkey. One of the things that I like the most against Portugal is that in the same way that Spain does, Portugal used their width a lot, with Rafael Leão and Bernardo Silva just playing one on the left, the other one on the right, providing many crosses, creating many chances from there. And then, you know, you've got a focal point like Cristiano Ronaldo, who hasn't scored yet, but in all fairness, he has created many chances for himself. And behind him, there is a plethora of footballers that they do every possible job. I mean, Bruno Fernandes is an all-rounder, in my opinion. He can get the ball away from you and pass and play and score. Joao Palhinha, even though he's a defensive specialist, he's very good on keeping the possession as well. So Portugal has many tools, and then they have no issues whatsoever when it comes to defending, and their goalkeeper is very good. So it's a good moment for them. They come probably as a favourite for this game, but Slovenia is not going to be easy.
Well, Bruno Fernandes has been speaking today and expects a strong challenge from Slovenia.
It's knockout phase now. We know what's in game, so it's going to be a completely different game. What's in the past is in the past. We have to learn from that, but we have to look to the game tomorrow with a different view of what we want from the game.
As for Slovenia, for what you've seen, what do we have to do to turn around the low block that they play?
No, it's not just about the low block they play. They have two players up front where they know how to use them. They connect really well together. They defend really well their box. They have one of the best goalkeepers in the world also. But it's not about just that. We have played against them in a friendly where we have lost the game. So we have to find solutions from that game where we can get the best out of the game.
We'll get some thoughts on that friendly defeat to Slovenia shortly from our correspondent with the team. Bruno Fernandes speaking to our reporter Carlos Machado there. But there's been changes in formation. They've got all these brilliantly talented players, and it still seems that Roberto Martinez is not going into games with, maybe a bit like Spain are at the moment, with this is probably my best 11. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, and I think that they will probably go back to that. They will probably look very similar to what they looked like 8 or 9 days ago against Turkey. I think that the game is also a great opportunity to calibrate how ready the likes of Vitinha, the likes of Palhinha, Conceição, Leao, how ready they are to take over from the old generation of Pepe, Ronaldo, and many footballers. Bernardo Silva is going to turn 30 very soon. Of many players who have been basically carrying all the weight of Portugal over their shoulders for over a decade. You know, I want to see how the young players respond. But, you know, other than the tactics, I will say that Roberto Martinez knows that he's got an endless pool of players, and that if something goes wrong in the game, he can apply pretty much every change to the system. And this is something that is a blessing for him.
Yeah, it's a lovely squad to have, that is for sure. Let's switch our focus to Slovenia next then and hear from our reporter, Gregor Sever, who is in the team camp. Gregor, good evening.
Yeah, hi. Hello from Frankfurt.
First of all, Gregor, on a personal level, for the people of Slovenia, how exciting is this game?
Oh, yeah, this is the best to be in the knockouts for the first time in history. We finally did it after 4 attempts on major tournaments. We are there. So, yeah, we are pretty excited about tomorrow.
You've just been doing interviews with the coach and some of the players in the stadium in Frankfurt before this game. What's the message from them? What's the mood in the camp like?
Yeah, the mood is pretty calm. I mean, throughout the tournament, players were conveying that they have done enough just by qualifying for the Euros, so everything else, everything more is a bonus. They seem pretty relaxed. I'm sure they've done their preparations, they've analyzed Portugal, but to be honest, whatever comes out of this game, it's already a bonus for them and for the rest of us who support them.
Slovenia beat Portugal 2-0 back in March in a friendly. How did they do that?
Yeah, it was a friendly and it was in Ljubljana. There were quite a lot of starters missing from that Portugal team. They scored 2 really lovely goals and Portugal just couldn't respond to it. But again, friendlies are friendlies, but the knockout stage is the knockout stage. So I'm sure that our guys, as they well expect, also will suffer tomorrow in Frankfurt. But I hope they will survive another suffering.
And is there any particular team news ahead of this? We understand that one of the players has had to go back to Slovenia before this game since that final group match.
Yeah, he had to go back. I mean, he went back for a very joyful occasion for the birth of his daughter. Tomi Horvat had his daughter Mia, let's say a couple of hours ago. He's already back in Germany, so the squad is complete. They're all ready. As the coach said, they're all in contention for the match tomorrow. Yes, so all in all, the spirits are very high.
Greg, a final one. What would it mean for Slovenia to win this game?
Oh, come on. It would be just the stuff for fairy tales, no? But you know what? I mean, I had a sneaky feeling before this tournament that we will progress. And you've seen how the favorites struggle, you know? And I would say that even though we don't have, like, superstars like Cristiano Ronaldo, but we do have Jan Oblak, should it come to penalties, I think that would be an advantage for us. If we can hold out the onslaught, I think our guys are perfectly capable of doing that because they really play compact. If they keep their focus, Portugal will have problems with the last pass or with shots. One of the things that I'm optimistic about is that whenever we win the ball, this generation of players, they know how to create something out of it. We have Šeško up front, who is very, very hungry for goals, even though he's young, 21. But I know, because he told me that it's one of his dreams to score this Euro. And I'm optimistically cautious, if that's the word.
Yeah. Great go up. Good luck. And thank you so much for coming on the show. We can't wait for the game.
Thank you very much.
Our Slovenia correspondent, Gregor Sever. Oh, come on.
Well.
Oh, come on.
Bob, if you can ask a silly question like that, he's going to give you an answer like that.
He's going to get me, isn't he? Okay.
But I did show the confidence, actually, immediately of Slovenia. And why not the way they've played?
Denied Denmark, Serbia and England wins at this championship and beat Portugal not long ago, as we heard. OK, let's switch things back to Sunday. A reminder that today England and Spain booked their way into the quarterfinals, the latter doing so by beating Georgia 4-1 in Cologne. A tournament to remember, though, for the Georgians. Here's captain Guram Kasia reflecting on their Euro 2024.
We are really proud how we represent our country in such a big tournament. We have been here first time and it was amazing adventure for us. We are extremely proud what we have done. And today's game, the first half we did it good, but second half after we lose Kitaishvili in the midfield, the game was different. And we suffer a little bit and we concede a lot of goals, but in the end, we are really happy how we represent our country and what we achieved, and we are really proud with our fans and the way we played. So, heads up.
Guram Kasia, they're rightly proud of what his team have done at this this tournament. Georgia's first, Euro.
Yeah. Yeah, and as we said right at the top, I think they will be remembered, actually, for everything they have brought to Germany. What it does mean, of course, is we've been trailing all show. How about this for a matchup in the quarterfinals? Spain against Germany, the two nations who have won this competition the most, three times each, and who met in the final in 2008.
And Torres is in here, and Fernando Torres scores for Spain. The drought is over for 24-year-old Fernando Torres. The goal comes out of nothing, but it is Germany 0, it's Spain 1, and it's a sea of red and yellow in Vienna.
And there's some serious nostalgia in this studio. Alvaro Romeo with a huge smile on his face as he heard that commentary back.
You've given away that Alvaro's from Spain.
We were young.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have. I mentioned he was from Bilbao earlier. I mean, I'd almost forgotten that moment was Spain's first major tournament win for a very long time, Alvaro. Still one of the greatest nights in Spanish football history?
Yeah, definitely. First win since 1964, when Spain won the Euros against the Soviet Union in the final, if I remember well. And yeah, that goal from Fernando Torres was very special because, at the end of the day, Spain hadn't been in a final since Euro 1984 against France, I would believe, when Platini scored that lovely free kick and Arconada couldn't save it. And it was the turning point in Spanish football history because that win validated the way of doing things, validated short players, validated Luis Aragonés and Vicente del Bosque and everyone who said in Spain that Spain had to play that way, Tiki-taka style, and it was a lovely four-year period, winning back-to-back Euros, the World Cup in between, and I think that all the Spanish players until this moment have been a little bit prisoners of that period, because they were always compared with what Spain did from 2008 until 2012. God knows, maybe Spain wins it again in 2024, and maybe Fernando Torres is still a legend, but maybe Nico Williams or Lamine Yamal become new legends of Spanish football too.
So many of you excited about this quarterfinal matchup and have been in touch on X. Peter says, this is going to be a game, can hardly wait. I love the football that Spain are playing. Marco just shared a gif of a popcorn bucket as well. And Spain beat Germany 6-0 in the Nations League just a few years back. Alvaro to finish. You heard it from Mark there, actually, didn't we, in Cologne. Are Spain the favourites now to win Euro?
Yeah. I double up on what I said last week. I mean, after the performance against Georgia, and especially after showing that mentality to come back from a 1-0 down, you have to take Spain as one of the main favourites to win the tournament, yes.
Alvaro, great to have your company. Thanks for coming on again.
Thank you.
Chris, halfway through the round of 16.
I know, it is absolutely flying by. Thank you for listening. And remember, we are on air every match night, moments after the final game, on the Euro 2024 app and at Euro2024.com. We'll around 11 p.m. CST, unless it goes to extra time and or penalties. And this show also available as the official podcasts.
Yeah, we're halfway through the round of 16 already. Tomorrow, France, Belgium, Portugal and Slovenia can join the four teams. They're already into the quarterfinals of UEFA Euro 2024. It has been some tournament so far. My thanks to Chris and Alvaro, and thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the official Euro 2024 podcast, an IMG production for UEFA.